This is NBC Nightly News, Monday, July 24th, reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. The war in Vietnam was going a bit better for the South Vietnamese today, and in the Senate of the United States, votes were seesawing back and forth on anti-war amendments. We'll look into that. We'll also be taking a look at severe flooding in Minnesota, a mine disaster in West Virginia, and some serious power shortages in New York City, which is sweltering in a heat wave. We'll also see Senator George McGovern, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, and some American kids in Thailand who are living with a drug problem. First, the war. The battle for the citadel in the center of Quang Tri City reached a peak today as two battalions of South Vietnamese paratroopers attacked at dawn. Their objective involved two breaches in the citadel's walls, blown open by American planes using bombs guided by lasers. Inside, the North Vietnamese defenders poured fire into the two breaches, and the outcome of the attack is in doubt. To the south, the South Vietnamese easily recaptured a redistrict town in Binh Dinh province, a place called Tam Quan, which was lost to the enemy 90 days ago. In Washington today, the Senate was dealing with Senator Mike Mansfield's End the War Amendment and other End the War measures. The Mansfield Amendment seems to have lost, but others are still alive. Secretary of State William Rogers today said sharply that the Secretary General of the United Nations, Kurt Waldheim, is helping North Vietnam distribute a falsehood around the world. Earlier today, Waldheim said he had information from unofficial channels that American bombs have fallen on dikes in North Vietnam. The American government says the dikes are not targets and that any hits have been by accident. After Waldheim's statement reached Washington, Rogers issued his statement, which says these allegations are part of a carefully planned campaign by the North Vietnamese to give circulation to this falsehood. The Associated Press says a former Czech intelligence officer who defected to the West 4 years ago believes that Russian and Czech spy services are appealing to relatives of American men killed in Vietnam, asking them to carry out anti-war activities. The officer's name is Ladislav Bittman, and his charges are in a book to be published in October. He now lives in the United States.
This is NBC Nightly News, brought to you by Chuck Wagon, the instant dinner for dogs. Chuck Wagon, what dogs like best and need most, all from one box. Chuck Wagon, instant dinner for dogs. All you add is warm water to make tender, juicy chunks, golden nuggets loaded with vitamins and minerals, and rich, savory broth, quick dried. Chuck Wagon, the instant dinner for dogs.
Pop, it's 2 a.m.
This nagging backache, I can't sleep.
You did too much. I'll get you Doane's pills tomorrow. Here, take these.
Doane's often bring welcome relief from nagging backache that may come on with overexertion or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action lets you get a good night's sleep.
I'll do that paint job today.
Bob!
For relief of nagging backache, Doane's pills.
All hope was given up today for the 9 men trapped in a burning coal mine at Blacksville, West Virginia. The fire started Saturday night. An attempt was made to drill a hole 700 feet into the mine, but today rescue workers gave up and the mine was sealed. Lou Davis has a report.
Company officials announced this afternoon there was no chance to rescue the 9 men trapped in the Blacksville No. 1 mine. They said they had begun sealing off the entrance in order to snuff out the fire. The fire began Saturday when a piece of heavy machinery hit an electric cable. Officials said tests revealed a high content of methane gas in the mine. They said there had been another small explosion in the fire area and that now there is no possibility of continuing rescue operations because of the danger of further explosions. The underground fire is still burning out of control. The United Mine Workers Union accused the company of operating the machinery in violation of state safety laws. And earlier today, company officials admitted that there had been a violation.
In this case, it appears that for some reason that we haven't yet determined, and these will be things that will come after this, after our prime concern of rescue, that the nine men who are missing were in by on the same current of air as the machine that was being moved.
That is then a violation of the law, right?
Sir?
That is a violation of the law.
That is.
The methane gas was discovered after a 5-inch drill reached the shaft 700 feet below the surface. The hole was being drilled so a microphone could be dropped to the men below. Now these men have been given up for dead. This mine is less than 30 miles from Consolidation's number 9 mine in Farmington. 78 men were killed there in November of 1968 in a similar fire. Lou Davis, NBC News, Blacksville, West Virginia.
In Washington, a spokesman for the Bureau of Mines said today that Consolidation Coal's mine at Blacksville is considered so dangerous that it requires weekly inspections. The spokesman, who would not allow his name to be used, added that the mine had been inspected last Thursday, just 2 days before the fire broke out. Near Mora, Minnesota, a dam broke during the night, flooding an area 150 miles long and 60 miles wide, and driving hundreds of people from their homes. Here's a report.
Among the town's hardest hit was Mora, a community of 2,500 in east central Minnesota. Early this morning, an earthen dam north of town collapsed, sending water into the business and residential areas. A civil defense official said that at one point, water was rising 1 inch every 5 minutes. Residents had enough warning to evacuate their homes and move their belongings to higher ground. However, two deaths were blamed on the flooding. The waters covered most roads into Mora, leaving it accessible only by planes or boats. One of the first towns hit by the more than 10 inches of rain that fell during a 12-hour period over the weekend was the small community of Randall. Water from two forks of the Little Elk River cut the town in half, forcing 25 families out of their homes. Some of the residents decided to stay behind and take their chances. Rescue efforts were aided by National Guardsmen who were on summer maneuvers nearby. Although the waters are receding in many parts of the affected area, flood forecasters are closely watching the St. Croix River that flows along the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. It's expected to crest a foot below flood stage Friday. Stan Turner reporting from Minneapolis.
The heat was in the 90s again today in New York City, and again the demand for power, especially for air conditioning and refrigeration, was so high that it caused breakdowns in the supply system, which left hundreds of thousands of people without enough electricity even to run a fan. Tony Guida has a report.
In two New York City boroughs, Brooklyn and Queens, half a million people were sweltering without electrical power in the heat wave. Air conditioners were silent, fans didn't turn, refrigerators became useless, and lights were off. Trying to get around the city or get out of it turns to chaos when the traffic signals fail. Ordinary citizens usually fill in as traffic cops to try to prevent disaster. For the first time in history, racing at Aqueduct Track had to be canceled because the paramutual machines wouldn't print tickets and the tote boards wouldn't operate. Businesses were forced to close, costing merchants thousands of dollars for every powerless day. In one area, there has been no power for 5 days. A supermarket manager says it has cost the store $10,000 in spoiled food alone. Hauling cases of food without the help of conveyors became a tiresome job in 90-degree heat. The chairman of New York's power company said yesterday his utility is the most reliable in the state. He also predicted this would be a tough week for New Yorkers with power failures. There are a lot of people in this city today who are sorry to know he is only half right. Tony Guida, NBC News, New York.
I've never been happier. The kids are doing well. We have a beautiful grandchild. Charlie and I spend more time together than ever, and he still treats me in that very special way. It really pays to take care of yourself. I exercise, eat right, and to be sure I get enough iron and vitamins, I take Geritol every morning. Charlie does too.
Geritol, more than twice the iron of ordinary supplements, plus 7 vitamins. Take care of yourself. Take Geritol.
Honey, you're incredible.
Kurt Gowdy at the Olympics.
To beat a world record, it takes almost as much foot as it does heart. So the world's best athletes don't take chances with their feet. More times than not, they use Desinex. Desinex helps avoid itchy, burning athlete's foot. In fact, Desinex has been selected for use by the U.S. Olympic team in 1964, 1968, and 1972. That's a record we're proud of.
Senator George McGovern held a press conference today. He's in vacation in Custer, South Dakota. McGovern said he interprets a series of attacks on him by senior people in the Nixon administration as an indication, in McGovern's words, that they're not quite as sure as they thought that Senator Eagleton and I will be pushovers. Senator Thomas Eagleton of Missouri is McGovern's running mate. John Dancy reports.
With most of the strategy sessions for the fall campaign out of the way, Senator McGovern played tennis this morning with his Washington tennis pro, Allie Ritzenberg, who accompanied him here to the Black Hills. After the tennis match, Senator McGovern held a news conference to announce changes in his campaign staff. There were many changes, but the most important ones leave two members of the 1968 Kennedy campaign, Frank Mankiewicz and Fred Dutton, as his top advisors. At his news conference, Senator McGovern attempted to clear up the question of what he would do if Hanoi did not release all American prisoners at the end of 90 days.
The prisoners are not released.
You know what President Nixon has done. He's been begging now for 3.5 years. He's been begging Hanoi to release the prisoners and bombing at the same time. I don't think the two go together. I think if we stop the bombing, the prisoners will be released. What I've said is that if there's some indication of trouble on that point, I would go to Hanoi myself in an effort to bring about the early release of the prisoners.
What happens if the prisoners don't come home in 90 days?
They don't come
in and begin the bombing again?
No, we don't begin the bombing again. The bombing is how the prisoners got into prison. It's the height of folly to think you're going to get prisoners out of Hanoi by bombing Hanoi. How do you think they got there in the first place? They got there because they were shot down from bombing planes.
Vice President Agnew is in Alaska on a speaking tour. In Anchorage, Agnew criticized McGovern's proposal for amnesty for Vietnam draft evaders and deserters and said he felt the Republicans would get support this fall from young Americans who are not students in college. In Fairbanks, Agnew seemed to be responding to environmentalists who oppose the Trans-Alaskan pipeline. He said that pipeline was only the beginning of the state's development. The Harris poll is out with figures today which indicate again that if Alabama Governor George Wallace stays home this fall, President Nixon has a better chance of being reelected. Harris's figures show that if the Wallace voters don't have Wallace to vote for, sizable numbers will vote for Mr. Nixon. Enough to cost George McGovern 5 percentage points of the votes.
Hi, I'm Marlene Francis, and I'd like to test your judgment. Which of these antacid tablets would you say is stronger? I mean, which do you think settles more of the acid that causes heartburn or indigestion? Well, once again, the biggest is not the best. The smaller Phillips tablet is concentrated, so it's stronger than either of the leading antacid tablets that come in a roll. There is no contest. Phillips tablets are stronger. You like them.
One a.m. I've got to get some sleep. Been up so long and still don't feel drowsy. Okay, Marcia, you really tried. But once in a while, there's a night when you really feel you need a sleeping aid. When you really feel you need Nitol. I follow directions, so I know Nitol's safe. And it works so well for me. It helps make me drowsy. I don't often need Nitol, but I'm sure glad it's here.
In the Middle East today, the Egyptians say they shot down an Israeli Phantom jet near the Suez Canal using a Russian surface-to-air missile, which hit its target over the Sinai Desert. The Israelis say it didn't happen. In Cairo, President Anwar Sadat said he kicked out 15,000 Russian military advisors and technicians because the Russian government was overcautious on war with Israel. He said Egypt, if necessary, will go to war alone with Israel. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the Egyptian Revolution when Gamal Abdel Nasser came to power. On this occasion, Sadat visited Nasser's tomb. Don North reports.
President Anwar Sadat arrived with War Minister General Sadek. Reciting prayers from the Quran, Sadat and Sadek stood before Nasser's tomb. 20 years ago, Sadat and Nasser had plotted the overthrow of King Farouk. Leaving the mosque, President Sadat was cheered by a crowd that had gathered. Sadat's expulsion of Soviet military advisors has been a popular move and is considered to have greatly improved Sadat's popularity. The main event of the 20th anniversary day was a massive military exercise held in an undisclosed area of the Egyptian desert. President Sadat, his cabinet and military leaders brought 2,000 members of Egypt's National Congress to witness the maneuvers. This black and white film, which was processed and approved by Cairo military censors, gives a rarely seen glimpse of the Egyptian Army and Air Force in action. Using live bombs and ammunition, Air Force jets strafed and bombed targets in the desert. Leaping from Soviet planes, Egyptian Army paratroopers staged a combat jump. Armored personnel carriers charged simulated enemy positions. It appeared Sadat was showing he could go to war if he chose, and that Egypt's armed forces were ready without Soviet assistance. Don North, NBC News, Cairo.
The People's Republic of China has gone shopping in Europe and made agreements to purchase two supersonic Concorde airliners made jointly by the British and the French. The Concorde has specifications which say it can fly from Paris to Peking in 8 hours. If production is on schedule, the Chinese will have their supersonics in 1976 or 77.
Mrs. Johnson.
Yes, isn't it beautiful? Oh.
In the old days when Mom bought a Frigidaire refrigerator, it was really an occasion. Today, it's another occasion. Our convenient new three-door refrigerator. Buy one during Frigidaire Week and we'll give you an automatic ice maker for free. You pay only for the installation. That's something Mom never got in the old days.
Feel silly?
Feels great.
What would we do without our Johnson's foot soap bath?
Suffer, like we used to.
Those corns and calluses.
Our feet would ache every night.
Like they used to.
Medicated Johnson's foot soap dissolves in warm water to relieve hot, tired, aching feet. Even softens painful corns and calluses.
I wouldn't give up our Johnson's foot soap bath for the world.
Neither would I.
President Nixon's chief economic advisor, Herbert Stein, told the Congress today that it's wrong if it thinks it can solve the country's financial problems by taxing rich people more heavily. The Chrysler Corporation reported today that its net earnings for the first 6 months of this year were more than $104 million, more than double the figure for the same period in 1971. The Supreme Court today was asked to reconsider its recent decision banning the death penalty asked by the Attorneys General of Georgia and Texas and the District Attorney of Philadelphia. Britain today faced the possibility of a nationwide strike caused by the jailing of five dock workers. Thousands of other workers walked off their jobs in sympathy with the five men in jail. In Northern Ireland today, more killing, a soldier shot to death in Belfast, a civilian in Londonderry. A federal court in Los Angeles today convicted Ricardo Chavez Ortiz of air piracy. Chavez hijacked a Frontier Airlines jet over New Mexico in April. He was captured when the plane set down in Los Angeles. Treasury Secretary George Shultz told reporters today that the federal budget crisis is getting worse and he wants Congress to stop spending. Shultz said the deficit for the year which ended in June, was $23 billion. Caused mostly by administration programs, and that the deficit for the current year could be as much more than the estimated $27 billion. Nevertheless, the favorable economic news of the past few days sent stock market prices up sharply today in active trading. The Dow Jones Industrials went up almost 15 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share gained 47 cents. On the American Exchange, the average price of a share gained 16 cents. President Nixon today was given a report on the number of arrests being made annually for drug violations. In 3 years, it has gone from 8,000 a year to 16,000 a year. The president said that he wants the number of arrests to double again next year, but he also used football terminology to say, we were on the 10-yard line, we are now on the 50-yard line, and we have the ball. This optimism is in sharp contrast to a cabinet-level report on drugs published today by the New York Times. The report is dated February 1972. It holds out no hope that the smuggling of drugs in Southeast Asia can be halted because of what it calls the corruption, collusion, and indifference at some places in some governments, particularly Thailand and South Vietnam. We have a report on drug abuse in Thailand prepared for us by Phil Brady. It deals with the drug problem among American youngsters living there.
Most Americans in Bangkok send their children to the international school. Of the 3,000 students here, half are in junior or senior high school. Their parents are well off, and the students are far above average. But for all this, there's a problem. It's drugs. Officials think about 10% of the junior and senior high school students use narcotics, most of it heroin. This year, five American students, the youngest, only 12, died from a suspected overdose. Basically, the school treats the problem two ways. It has a drug information program, or if caught, a student is thrown out. More than 100 were expelled this year alone. All were on heroin, and all returned to the United States. Officials aren't sure if this is the answer, but they think they are making some headway.
Well, we believe we are, but it is a very difficult matter to assess. I would say during the past year, with about 1,500 in our two secondary schools, we've had less than 10% involved in drugs. Now, compared to stateside standards, this may sound good. However, at the same time, of these 10% of our students, we have about 100 who have been experimenting with heroin. Mm-hmm. Which is very, very dangerous and, of course, is a serious problem for us and for the parents and for the students.
It's about 85%.
85% are using
users. Yeah. Of course, about 25% are using heroin, but those that are dipping and everything, it's about 85%.
Are they all in high school?
No, this is from 7th grade to 12th grade.
Yeah, there's even some sixth grade kids now taking... I'm not talking about marijuana, I'm talking about hard drugs.
Heroin.
Heroin.
Very cheap. Usually $2 from anywhere. $2.50 for a whole vial of heroin, which is almost 12 ounces, to maybe 50 cents for about a 50-ounce bag of marijuana.
Students can buy anything they want from these Thai lunch wagons. Even though there is a lot of cheap and pure heroin around, doctors here don't think this is the main reason students use drugs. They think the narcotics problem is more complex, and much of it's tied to what happens to many American families when they come to live here. Doctors point out that because Bangkok is a big city, there's no such thing as an American neighborhood. Families are scattered all over the place, and this tends to divide and isolate them. Then, too, few ever really get to know the Thais, let alone speak their language. So, cooped up in expensive homes behind high walls to prevent robberies, many American families are cut off, afraid, bored, and have only themselves as company. And if a family had problems before coming here, this new life tends to make them far worse. There's a lot of nightlife in Bangkok, and a lot of girls, too. And for some fathers, this is one way out. And there are more and more late nights and more fights at home, and the children take it all in. Life here affects mothers too. Most have maids and not much to do at home, so they try to keep themselves busy with one of the many women's clubs in town. But many wives admit that even with a heavy social life, they're bored. And with their husbands busy all day, and some out too late at night, some wives feel, as one doctor put it, that their role as a mother and a woman has been sabotaged. And their children take this in too. There seems then to be no one cause for the drug problem here. It is a murky, ugly puzzle which scares some and confuses others. But above all, it is serious, and no one knows this better than the parents and kids who've lived it.
Do the kids figure they can handle the habit?
Oh, sure, that's what they all say, you know. Well, I know what I'm doing.
They always say, well, I know what I'm doing. It won't happen to me. And that's what the girl, the last girl that died, she had been at a party where I was, and she had said that same thing, that don't worry about me, I know what I'm doing. A week later, she was dead on heroin.
Narcotics is big business in Thailand. In raids in remote northern compounds, American and Thai agents have seized the equivalent of $231 million worth of opium, morphine, and heroin in the last 2 days. Good night for NBC News.